Thank you. Good evening and welcome to this meeting of the San Francisco Ethics Commission. I'm pleased to welcome you and impressed that we all elected to spend Valentine's Day here together. Let's begin with the roll call of commission members. Commissioner Ward.
Here.
Commissioner Herr.
Here.
Commissioner Heyon.
Here.
Commissioner Hansen, whose term ended at the last meeting, is entitled to carry over, but was not able to be until a new commissioner is appointed, but she was not able to be with us this evening. And there is not yet a new appointee for that position. The next item on the agenda is public comment on matters appearing or not appearing on the agenda that are within the jurisdiction of the Ethics Commission. Some of you may know, but just in case there are others here to speak, that we allocate 3 minutes for public comment, and the signals there will help you know when that time is coming to an end. Is there anyone who would like to make a public comment this evening? Thank you very much. As some of you know, there are opportunities later in the meeting on particular items and actions to comment. The third item relates to the budget discussion, and I will turn to the Executive Director, Mr. St. Croix, to bring us up to date on the budget requests and where that item stands. Thank you.
Commissioners, we're at a place we have found ourselves every year for the past few, faced with a dilemma in that the mayor's budget office has asked us to make cuts in our requested budget for next year that for us are fairly serious. And yet at the same time, we have to be respectful of the fact that the city is in a budget crisis. That continues, perhaps there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but not yet. We also have to recognize that, to a certain extent, we're an independent agency because of the oversight we have over the rest of the government, so that we are capable of asserting our independence, but without being disrespectful of the reality of the budget. So I am proposing the strategy that we executed last year and the year before, which is to not submit a proposed budget with the 10% budget cuts that the mayor's office has requested, added to that a 10% contingency plan. What I am proposing is we've already made a 2.5% reduction in this year's budget as a down payment on the reduction expected for next year's budget. What I would like to do is submit a budget that is essentially this year's budget. Again, submitting it respectfully that we're not agreeing to the proposed budget cuts, but not asking for anything more as a way of recognizing that there is a budget shortage. Ultimately, it will be the mayor's office and the Board of Supervisors that come to what that figure is, and any cuts that they do decide that we have to absorb will come out of personnel and fringe benefits. There's essentially no place else in our budget right now that's got available funds that we can do without. Having said that, what I would do is what we have done for the last 2 years, which is to work with the mayor's office and the budget committee at the board to preserve as much of our budget as possible, a strategy that has been largely successful. The highest priority that we have right now is we need to do more auditing, and it would be beneficial to us, almost necessary, if we could keep the staff that we have now to also hopefully convince them that we need more auditing staff as well. So that will be part of our discussion, depending on how they go and how the budget numbers shake out at the end of the year. The mayor's office will know that the Ethics Commission has only that one place to go for funds, If they determine that they insist on writing a budget with the cuts in it, then I will work with them to identify those. But again, it will be out of those, the staff salaries and fringe accounts. It won't come from anywhere else. But I think this is the most respectful way that we can sort of maintain, you know, our independent nature vis-a-vis the rest of the city agencies, but at the same time, not take it upon ourselves to say the budget problem is not our problem. So in the memo before you, we're looking at an operating budget proposal that's essentially this year's budget with a very mild increase to recognize that fringe is going to go up. And this would be in order to maintain the number of staff that we have currently. That's the money that would be required. The election campaign fund is a separate fund, and the monies do not commingle, even though on paper money is fungible. In reality, they're separate funds. But the cuts, if they do come, will be out of the operating budget and out of the staff accounts, as I stated. So I would hope that you agree that since this strategy has worked in the past, it's one we should probably stick to for this year, just as a matter of course.
Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments on that? It is obviously a rough time in terms of the city budget, and I think that the balancing that you're describing is reasonable, consistent with what we've done, but it is very possibly an even more difficult year than we have tackled. I appreciate all the work that you have done on this, and look forward to seeing how the city goes forward and how we can best maintain the mandatory responsibilities that we carry out for the commission at the instruction of the voters. So thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item? Thank you. Seeing none, let's move on to the annual activity.
Need you to endorse the.
Oh, yes, you want an action? Okay. Do you need a motion or a sense of the body?
Yeah, a motion that the recommendation.
To recommend the approach. Sorry.
That we accept Mr. St. Croix's recommendation.
Thank you.
Second. You better do public comment
yes.
again.
Yes. Is there any public comment on that motion? Seeing none, we will take a vote. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you very much. Now it's time for item four on the agenda, the selection of random audits for 2010 electoral committees. Jack, how would you like to?
Okay. The way we have done this is there are three filing categories of committees, and they are $100,000 or below, excluding $10,000 and below, and above $100,000. So at this point, we're not auditing committees below $10,000. So we have determined the number of audits we will be able to do this coming year to be 7. That is on top of the 20-some audits that we're doing for the public finance candidates in the recent election. So we're not just doing 7. We'll be doing 29, I believe. 29. I also anticipate that there will be 1 to 2 targeted audits as well. So out of that 7, staff recommends that we do 3 at the $100,000 below level and 4 at the above $100,000 level. For those of you who haven't been here before, this is literally, we put the names in a random drawing, have someone in the public section do the withdrawals for us. So that it is random and it's done by someone who's other than staff. I do have a housekeeping announcement. There is one campaign listed for its DCCC candidate listed. Okay. Carol Mignan for Democratic Sandy Central Committee should not be on the list.
It's item 1326025, is that right?
Right.
It's on page 2 of 5. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's just her her DCCC campaign should not be on the list, and it will not be in the drawing.
Do we know why?
The reason why this committee should not be in the list is all candidates who ran for county central committees were excluded from the audit pool, and this committee was overlooked.
Before we begin with the drawing, do commissioners have any other questions or comments on this item? Did you have more intro? Anyway. I'd be interested in whether the rate for below 100 and over 100 is roughly comparable to recent years, or have we rebalanced that rate? I know that has been an issue of discussion in the past.
In terms of how the activity levels are split?
Well, there's, as we've intended in the past, there's a higher probability that a campaign over $100,000 will be chosen.
Right.
So share of the pool. And I'm just wondering if that, if those odds, so to speak, are similar.
Yes, they are. In fact, the odds are 13% for the higher level of activity committees, and it's 6% for committees below $100,000.
And that's similar to the rate that we've had before, even though
yes.
We have different numbers of audits each year and different numbers of races.
Right, similar in the sense that we tend to pick a larger percentage of the committees with higher activity levels.
Anyone else?
How much more work, if any, does auditing a 100,000 or above campaign compare with one that's below?
It really depends on the committee. A committee with a higher financial activity level generally has more volume, and so there's more work involved there. But then again, they also, for the most part, tend to be organized, whereas a smaller committee might dump everything into a shoebox and may not separate expenditure documentation from contribution documentation.
So you can't state across the board whether adjusting the balance to 5 and 2 in favor of above 100,000 would make a material difference in the amount of work?
No, not necessarily. A lot of times it really depends on individual committees.
Mm-hmm. Unless there are additional comments, I think we're ready to conduct the audit, and Ms. Shake will handle that with us.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate the substantial effort that the entire set of audits will take, and thank you for being here tonight to conduct this.
I'd like to invite a member of the public to help us with the audit selection. If there's anybody who'd like to volunteer.
Yes.
Great.
Thank you very much.
From here?
Pass the pieces of paper on to our Deputy Director, Mabel Ng, and we'll hold them and put them in the box.
All right. Standing up for working families. Yes on Proposition B. Standing up to save San Francisco. No on Measure B and K. San Franciscans for a better Muni. Yes on G. Economic Recovery San Francisco, no on J and N. San Francisco Earthquake and Disaster Response Plan, yes on B. Coalition for Civil Sidewalks, yes on L, no on M, 2010. San Francisco Firefighters Local 798, no on B. Coalition to Stimulate the Economy, no on N. Committee to Preserve Rental Housing, no on F. Janet Riley for District 2 Supervisor. Mark Farrell for District 2 Supervisor.
If anyone's Phil, following along, let me just mention these pick up again at the top of page 2. Just the order in which you're giving them.
Phil Ting for Assessor. Carmen Chu for Supervisor. Service Employees International Union Local 1021 Issues PAC. San Francisco Democratic County Central Committee. San Francisco Police Officers Association. Coalition for Sensible Government. San Francisco Forward, sponsored by San Francisco Chamber of Commerce. Teachers, nurses, Muni riders, neighbors, and working families supporting Mandelman for supervisor. Common Sense Voters, vote for Mark Farrell for District 2, supervisor. Alliance for Jobs and Sustainable Growth. Oh, it's for Scott Weiner. Alliance for Jobs and Sustainable Growth, labor unions and business associations for supporting Steve Moss for supervisor. San Francisco Labor Council, labor and neighbor, independent expenditure. Alliance for Jobs and Sustainable Growth, supporting Teresa Sparks for supervisor. Friends supporting Deborah Walker for supervisor. San Francisco Labor and Neighbor Member Education Political Issues Committee. Golden Gate Restaurant Association PAC. San Francisco SOS PAC, Municipal Executives Association of San Francisco PAC. Should I read it?
Yeah.
Standing up to save San Francisco, no on measures B and K, yes on measures J and N. Phil Ting for Assessor. San Francisco Forward, sponsored by the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce. San Francisco Labor and Neighbor Member Education Political Issues Committee. open?
Yes. These committees are from financial activity level one. So I think we
Okay. All right. Why Tuesday, San Francisco? Yes on I. San Francisco Rising Committee to support measures DEIJN, opposing measures BGKNL. Yes on Measure A. Yes on Prop D. Sidewalks are for people. Committee opposed to Prop L. Tenants for Fair Rents, committee to support Prop F. Committee to support our City College, yes on A. Marase for School Board. Margaret Brodkin for School Board. Natasha Holm for Board of Education. Committee to re-elect Supervisor Alioto Peer. Laura Spangen for Supervisor. Re-elect Public Defender Jeff Adachi. Hydra Mendoza for School Board. Lawrence Wong for College Board. Re-elect Dr. Anita Greer for Community College Board. Diane Wesley Smith campaign for District 10 committee. No. Glendon Anna Conda Hyde for District 6 supervisor. Matt Drake for supervisor. Reelect Kim Shremafis to Board of Education. John Rizzo for Community College Board. Campaign to elect Stephen Weber, District 10 Supervisor. James Pan for Assessor. Committee to elect Norman for Supervisor. Rachel Norton for Board of Education. Supervisor Michelle Alioto Peer, Legal Defense Fund. Coleman Action Fund for Children Committee. San Francisco Labor Council, Labor and Neighbor. San Francisco Women's Political Committee. D10 Forward, sponsored by San Francisco Building and Construction Trades. Clean San Francisco. San Francisco Building and Construction Trades Council. Protect Our Benefits. San Francisco Apartment Association, PAC. San Francisco Young Democrats. New Day for San Francisco. District 11 Democratic Club. Sierra Club, Bay Chapter, San Francisco Bay Chapter campaigns. San Francisco Parent Political Action Committee. San Francisco Building and Construction Trades Council. Bay Area Firefighters PAC Fund, opposing Mark Farrell for supervisor. Noe Valley Democratic Club. San Francisco Small Business Advocates. Asian Pacific Democratic Club PAC. Richmond District Democratic Club. Committee on Jobs Candidate Advocacy Fund. Noe Valley Democratic Club. Protect Our Benefits. Laura Spangen for supervisor.
Three.
We're done.
That's three. left with her. Thank you very much. I really want to thank you for volunteering. That was probably a little more work than you expected, but we appreciate your help. And we appreciate the staff that will carry this forward and the cooperation of the committees that we hope we will have in conducting these audits. So thank you all. An example of transparency in government before your very eyes. Is there public comment on that process? Thank you. Commissioners, any closing words? We now move on to item 5, election of chair and vice chair. The term of chair of the Ethics Commission is a 2-year maximum term elected in 1-year intervals, and the same for vice chair. So tonight is the marks the end of 2 years. Both my husband and I were astonished that 2 years had actually passed. And we have, as an agenda item, the election of a chair and vice chair to serve for the coming year. I open the floor to the commissioners.
I'd like to nominate Commissioner Herr.
For chair?
For chair.
Thank you very much. Do I hear a second?
Actually, you don't need the second nominations.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Should we do one at a time? Yeah. Would anyone like to speak to that? We hope that. Are there any other nominations? Since every one of us is. No. Can we. Would you be willing to serve, Commissioner?
I would. I'd be honored to serve.
Excellent. Is there. I don't know that we need campaign posters and speeches. would either of you or you like to say anything at this time before we have public comment on the motion that's before us?
I'm a man of few words, but I think based on his participation since he's been on the commission, I think he'll do a fine job as chair.
Thank you for those kind words. I would look forward to the opportunity and would welcome it.
Is there any public comment on that nomination for chair? Would you come forward?
As a member of the general public who has never been to any of your meetings before, would it be appropriate for the nominees to say 3 or 4 sentences about themselves? So it's a chance to get to know you.
I'd be happy to.
I think we can take up that invitation. Sure.
My name is Ben Herr. I am an attorney in private practice. I work for the law firm of Kecker and Van Nest. I have served on this commission for about a year. I am a former Coro Fellow here in San Francisco about a dozen years ago, graduate of the Harvard Law School and of Stanford University. And I also serve on the board of directors of Bay Area Community Resources.
Is there any other public comment? Thank you very much for that invitation. I will now call the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
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 That was unanimous, and I want to congratulate and thank you, Commissioner Herr. And I share with Commissioner Ward the sense that over the past year, you have been, your questions have been superb, your understanding of the law and the dynamics, and your commitment to the people of the city of San Francisco and the mission that they have set out for this commission have been exemplary, and I think you'll do a fine job.
Thank you, Commissioner Sudley. I would like to sort of thank you for your leadership, and I hope to follow in those footsteps. I think you've done an excellent job, and I just look forward to your counsel and going forward.
Thank you. Thank you. We will now move to election of a vice chair to serve for this year as well. Do I hear a nomination for that position?
I'd nominate Commissioner Studley for that position.
Thank you. It's something of a mini tradition to do that, and I'm happy to continue to work with the commission and serve in that way. So I would be happy to accept that nomination. Are there any other nominations? Public comment on the vice chair. For the sake of the gentleman here, I'll introduce myself as well. I am the president and chief executive officer of Public Advocates Incorporated, a nonprofit civil rights advocacy group based here in San Francisco that focuses especially on education, housing, and transit justice for low-income people. Like Commissioner Herr, I'm a graduate of the Harvard Law School and also of Barnard College, and have served as general counsel of the U.S. Department of Education, president of Skidmore College, executive director of several nonprofit organizations, and am on the boards of several educational and arts organizations right now as well, and have been on the commission for 5 years, I think, astonishing as that may be. Unless there's further public comment, I don't see any. We will have a vote on that nomination. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Excuse me. The transfer takes place at the end. Yes. And this change in leadership is effective for the next meeting. So I look forward to Commissioner Herr's beginning to serve effective with the March meeting, and thank all of you for the privilege of working with you, which in this capacity, which will obviously continue in this new role. This evening, we organized our agenda to put most of the public items ahead of the closed session that we will now turn to, so that we could have the public with us for those items. But we now have on our agenda a recommendation that we move into closed session. Want to add anything about the kinds of things that we do in closed session? We do things which under our charter or rules are meant to be confidential, involving litigation in which the commission is either a plaintiff or a defendant, or certain very narrow kinds of personnel matters. So with that, we propose to move into closed session. We take public comment on that.
After you get a motion.
Right, yeah. So do I hear a motion to initiate the closed session?
I move that we do move into closed session.
I second.
Do I hear any public comment on that recommendation, on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye for the motion made by Commissioner Ward and seconded by Commissioner Herr.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. We will now begin our closed session, and thank you very much for joining us. There are we're now returning to open session, and would someone please make a motion regarding the proceedings during the closed session? You make the same motion.
I move that that the Ethics Commission find that it's in the best interest of the public not to disclose its closed session deliberations regarding anticipated and existing litigation.
I second the motion.
Is there any public comment? There are no members of the public with us right now. Would all in favor please say aye.
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 We now turn to the minutes of the January 10th, 2011 meeting of the commission. Does anybody have corrections, questions, or additions? While you're scanning, I do have one. It seems to me that in item number 2 about public comment, it would be a little clearer if it refers to Mr. Hartz's comment about a brief written summary, if we indicate that it's a brief written summary provided by the speaker. It may be that those words are actually in the ellipsis that's here, but I think without it, it would be hard for somebody to understand that the written summary isn't the same as the minutes that we provide. Is that?
Do you want to change this sentence at the end? Mr. Hartz also submitted a written statement which has been included with these minutes to say at the end of these minutes?
Yes. Was that sufficient for people to understand my suggestion? Okay. Are there any other corrections or changes? Page 2, on the same general issue, the third paragraph has the language, and I apologize, I forgot to just flag this for Mr. St. Croix. The language intended to be met in line. It seems to me that there might be just a slip in the construction there.
Third paragraph?
Or a third piece of a paragraph, the way mine printed out. It's the paragraph that begins, Peter Warfield stated.
I see.
I think
made.
It's just the word met.
Should be made in line.
It's probably a spell check error.
I can listen to what he said, but I believe that's what he said. But I'll listen to the tapes, and I'll make the appropriate changes.
Okay, thank you. That'd be fine. Mrs. St. Croix may be right that it could be the word made, just hard to hear, but right. I forgot how closely you're trying to track the speaker as opposed to writing it afresh. Thank you. Anyone else? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes with those two small changes?
So moved.
Second?
Anyone?
Second.
Thank you. No public with us to comment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. St. Croix.
Just one thing. I'm handing you a letter. This is an informal advice letter. The staff does informal advice letters. They do not carry any independent legal protection for the person they're written to, so they don't require commission approval. What I'm doing is just giving it to you as a courtesy. If you have any suggestions, changes, or problems with it, please let me know by the end of this week. Otherwise, we'll issue the letter on Monday. What? What? Speak up. It's already been issued. Then why am I giving them a courtesy of looking at this letter?
When we issue informal advice letters, we always provide copies to the members of the commission.
Okay.
To informally advise them as well.
Now you don't have to read it unless you don't want to. I don't have anything else tonight. I don't have anything else tonight.
We had enough fun for one evening. Thank you very much. Does anyone have any items for Roman numeral 10, items for future meetings? As you know, you have the opportunity to advise Mr. St. Croix of issues that you'd like to raise, and it will be up to the new chair whether he would like to hear such things off-mark as well. Does anybody have any items right now under that head? Thank you, no. No public comment because no public, and no public comment on matters appearing or not appearing on the agenda because there's no public with us at this point. So I hear a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you very much. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you. And thank you, Ms. Lee.